Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hello, you're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm Mason Dixon, joined once again by Corey the Bayou Benders, and this is Habs Nightly, your hub for Habs content. All right, we are back again for another episode of Habs Nightly. Corey, how are you, buddy?
I'm great, fam.
Oh, fuck.
I'm great. How are you?
You're sick to my stomach.
You're sick to my stomach, fam. Oh, man. I'm doing good. I have to buy a new dryer. And life can't get better. It just couldn't. I cut my grass, Mason.
Wow. Like
an adult last week. Yeah, I cut my grass last week. It has rained every day, and my grass didn't grow at all during fall and the 2 weeks of winter. It didn't grow at all. I cut it, and now it looks fucking terrible. It looks terrible. I don't have grass. I have clovers. Everything's growing that's not supposed to fucking grow right now. It's disgusting.
Why did you cut your grass then?
Because it looked like shit. Like, it grew, you know, but it took months to grow. Like, you know, I probably should just cut that. You know, probably should just cut that. It looks a little trashy. So I caught it, Mason. And guess what? It was just like, winter is fucking over. It's going to rain 10 out of the 14 days. And it did. And everything sucks. Everything fucking sucks, dude. Everything. I'm doing great, Mason. How are you?
I'm alive.
He's alive.
He's
alive.
Yeah, I don't know. School's schooling.
Heard.
Yeah, we're getting through it.
That's all you can do with school, Mason. You gotta just stay awake long enough. That's all you gotta do.
Absolutely.
You will fucking graduate with the sleep after graduation is unreal. Like, the stress of life, big. But like,
I can't wait.
Knowing that school's over, unreal sleep. Unreal.
I can't wait to graduate and just take like the biggest sigh, like let the biggest breath out for about like 30 seconds, and then
welcome to real life.
Yeah. I mean, like, the one beneficial thing I have is that I don't then gotta be like, okay, what do I want to do with my life? Like, I just go straight into nursing.
Yeah.
But as of right now, I'm catching a buzz on a Monday because of nursing. So
catching a buzz on a Monday.
Well,
heard that.
Yeah, we'll have to play it by ear till that day. But
you're doing absolutely fantastic.
The Habs are not helping my stress as much as they were previously. These last few weeks have been a little.
Once we talked highly of them, it just kind of fell apart.
It hasn't even been that bad. It's just been kind of meh.
Yeah, Suzuki's, they just went from being
still,
like
Suzuki's
explosive.
Still being phenomenal, but
yeah, Nick Suzuki is our kind of he's the Canadiens' radar right now. Everybody else playing just average, where Nick Suzuki is like the exceptional player that's like, oh fuck yeah, or Montembeau having a good game, or
Plouffe's been decent. Caulfield's been decent.
yeah, everybody's playing good, but no one's like playing like they were, except for Nick Suzuki. Except for Nick Suzuki. So, where do you want to take it? You want to just go straight to what happened in the trade deadline, or you want to talk a little bit about the currency of the Habs, or?
Oh, it's up to you, sir. You are
Oh
the.
yeah, I am driving the bus. I do have a CDL. All right, Mason. Well, fuck it. Let's get to the trades, and then from there, it'll just depress us enough to talk about the state of the Habs. How's that sound?
Sure.
All right. Last week, big fucking week. I felt it was a little quiet, and then it kind of blew up. Not a lot of big trades like the past couple of years, Mason. But some big ones did pass by. Obviously, you have the late Thomas Hertl one.
You're making it
Fucking.
sound like he's dead. The late Thomas Hurdle.
Oh, well, I just mean it was very end of the draft.
I know what you
Tyler
said.
Toffoli, big move. The Jake Guentzel trade. Honestly, the Anthony Duclair to Tampa is looking like it's going to be one of the better ones. The Noah Hanifin move. Bowen Byram, Casey Mittelstadt swap. Fucking.
Well, the Jake, let's like we can talk about a few of these deals here.
I was just
Because
saying how big some of these were, and then us as fans were like, okay, well, obviously we got three goalies. Something needs to happen. We have a defenseman who's should be gaining traction, and honestly, those are the two big ones. Was Savard and was Allen gonna move? And I was just getting to the point that they had such big blockbuster trades and a lot of ones in between that, and it wasn't until March 8th that we did anything.
yeah, I think there were a lot of very impactful deals. The one that probably surprised me the most was the Jake Guentzel deal. I just really don't understand the direction that this Pittsburgh Penguins team is trying to take to only trade Jake Guentzel and not
Anything else?
Crosby or Mal. Like, it
Yeah.
doesn't make
It just
sense to
feels
me
gutted
because
after these guys just stayed.
But as long as you have Crosby, Malkin, Letang, you need to be trying to win.
Yeah.
And they're not trying to win right now if you're trading Jake Guentzel. So what the fuck are you doing? Because you should be trying to surround those guys with talent like they did in the offseason with the acquisition of Erik Karlsson. And then you trade the youngest member of your core. It just really doesn't make any fucking sense to me. And for the return they got, it was even more baffling, to be honest with you.
Well, you
Some
have.
pretty non-factors, like those prospects are not.
Yeah,
When I saw
I don't know him by
Lucius,
name.
I thought maybe it was Chaz. It was Cruz Lucius, Levashoinot, like some pretty like
You have
run-of-the-mill prospects.
Ponomarev and Koivunen.
Yeah,
Michael
sorry,
Bunting's the only one that you can insert into that Jake Guentzel slot. Everybody else is, like you said, prospects. And then they have a conditional first and fifth round, same year, 2024. But if I'm not mistaken, there's a condition to like the condition to the first round is like they have to, Carolina has to make it to the Stanley Cup. I don't know if they have
they
to
have to like
genuinely win
make
it.
the cup final or win the cup.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
Like Jake Guentzel should have with what moved, Jake Guentzel probably should have just claimed a first overall pick if they were going to move Jake Guentzel. For it to be what it is, including them taking and holding 25% of their salary, I just feel like I really wish your boy was still in Toronto.
Yeah, it
These
just
are
made no,
the
it's a
moves
terrible deal.
Toronto needs to suck up. Just more of this bullshit.
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense. I think the Canes make out like fucking gangbusters.
Oh my God. That is if, I mean, I know that they're saying Jake
Because that
Gensel is like
condition, like,
practicing,
hear me
but
out, Corey. Trading your first round pick for a chance at the Stanley Cup is a thing that most teams will take. But what Carolina has essentially secured itself
is a team that
is
can't make it
a
to the
first round
finals.
pick for a cup. And any team in the National Hockey League would make that deal. If you told the Chicago Blackhawks last year that if they were to trade Connor, but the first overall pick for a guaranteed Stanley Cup, I feel like they probably would have done it. And you might get on me and say, oh, you could win more cups with Bedard. Look at McDavid. McDavid hasn't won shit. So for them to have that condition on their second best player, I mean, kudos to Don Waddell and the Carolina Hurricanes because they absolutely fucking fleeced the Penguins. And a team that has historically looked very dangerous just got a lot scarier with Jake Gensel.
Yeah, but how is his recovery?
Pardon?
How was Jake Gensel's recovery?
I don't think it matters. Like, you gave up peanuts for him.
True.
And he's supposed to be, I think he, like, he's supposed to be back before the playoffs.
Okay. I know he's doing like practice jersey, like a no contact, I think.
I'm just saying, the guy has 52 points in 50 games this year, 40
Yeah.
goal scorer multiple times.
Oh yeah,
His overall point per game.
he's definitely a caliber player that they've been saying for the past couple of years that they just need to find that superstar. He could be that, but I mean, he also had the Sidney Crosby effect with him. I don't know what it is with Carolina. Carolina's great until it counts. And I'd love to see Carolina do something. There'll be a team I watch this year. Yeah, I think Kyle Dubas just did to the Penguins what he's been doing to Toronto, and it's a little tough knowing that they might have someone better in the office.
Yeah, I don't know if I would. I don't know if I'd say that much because I don't think the Leafs really solved many of their issues with Trey Living. But yeah, no,
No,
this
they didn't
Denver
really do
deal.
anything. What they added was what's his name? Lilabushkin, I think is how you pronounce
Labushkin,
it. Lilabushkin.
terrible player.
And Joel Edmondson.
Decent player,
I
but.
love Joel Edmondson, but that was tough. That was tough. But yeah,
But
decent
yeah, just
player.
circling back to Gensel though, if I were to have to give that a letter grade for the Penguins,
Oh, that's a fucking
that's like a C minus.
yeah.
Like you got some I you know what? It might be a D. Actually, it's a D. You didn't have to trade him. He's not on an expiring deal, is he?
Let's see.
Let me look that up quickly.
Yeah, take a look. I'm not sure if it is. Yeah, I just don't I don't see the re I don't see the return. I get you insert someone to fill the slot immediately. You
If he
got
is on an expiring contract, so I'll give it a C minus. But for a guy that, like, he was the best player moved all day for quite an underwhelming. Sean Walker got a guaranteed first round pick.
Can I be 100% honest with you?
Yeah.
I had to look up Sean Walker.
Good player, really good player. Great move by the Avs.
I was just very I was like, who? Like, what is this
If
major
it
deal? Ryan Johnson, Johansson? I was like, I don't think
who got
he's a
waived?
big name. Yeah,
Who
right.
got waived?
Just gutted for Ryan Johansson.
Well, and then you go, oh, the Avs need a second line center, and they get Casey Mittelstadt. Oh, they've
Look,
got too many
I'm
defense. They literally, it was such a
uh-huh.
perfect play from Chris McFarland and Joe Sakic to have They Bo Byram was already kind of getting muscled out by the other defenseman, wasn't getting a real opportunity to shine.
And wasn't he already had dealt with, I guess, first year he got like injured immediately, right?
He's
So
had
like,
concussion issues too.
yeah.
So what
I
do
hate
they
to put it
do?
on that, but like that's safe. Like this is a safety net to like bring in just
Well,
Casey
and
fucking Middleton
here's the
back.
thing. The Avs had two problems. They had issues on that second line center role. They've never been able to refill it since Kadri. And they had a plethora of defensemen, and Byram was sort of getting, suffocated. Didn't have a lot of room to develop because Taves and Makar have that first pairing on lock.
Yeah, he's never going to compete with
So in classic Avs fashion, they solve both their problems and get better
that.
with each other. They used Johansson and a first to clear up cap space and acquire Sean Walker, who then suffocates out Byram. So what do? They
They move.
trade Byram to replace Jonas Johansson and get an upgrade.
Dude, they did
They traded. Here's
they
what's
did that
crazy.
in 40 minutes.
And here's the crazy part. Sean Walker is an upgrade on Bowen Byram. And at
Casey
least
Middle.
like at least for like what the Avs need. And Mittelstadt's and like way better than Johansson. So they basically got those
The old
players for like a first round
switcheroo.
pick.
That's
And
insane.
what really sucks, because my good buddy Rye is an Avs fan. I always root for the Avs whenever the Habs are out. They didn't even have they made a couple more trades too. They had a very active offseason
Yeah,
or a trade.
they went for it. They went for
They didn't even have the best fucking trade deadline. Fucking
it.
Vegas,
Oh,
who
they're
just
gross.
acquired everybody. It was mental. Do you have a list of everyone
Yeah,
Vegas
I'm going
is?
to just the Vegas one now. One second. While I get to this, who's your favorites in the trade deadline? Not players, but like what teams? Obviously, I'm guessing you're going Vegas, but like what teams do you think won other than Vegas? Let's just say that. Or who made a
Vegas
strong
and
push?
Colorado won.
I think Florida's right there too, though.
Yeah, Florida did well.
Okay, I have Vegas up. You want me to just rifle?
Who'd they get?
Oh, Jesus. It went too far back. I have it all. Let's see. Let's stay in 2024. All right, 2024. They started off March 5th with Anthony Mantha. They threw a second and a fourth into 2026. And what's wild is Mantha, Capitals are keeping 50% of Mantha's 5.7 cap hit. So they're getting them for pennies on the fucking dollar. They traded a second and a fourth that it's in 2026. It might as well just be fucking never. They go on the next day to sign Noah Hanifin, which was the first of their
Well,
major.
they traded for Noah Hanifin.
Yeah, I'm sorry. What did I say?
You said signed.
Sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. They traded for Noah Hanifin for Danil Myromanov, conditional 2025 first round and a conditional third round. It says Philly receives a 2024 fifth round pick from Vegas. So I guess this was a three-way trade. Let me see if I can get a little information. I think there's something wild about the first pick as well. But Noah Hanifin, huge, huge pickup for them. And that's like what's his name? That's your boy's best friend. Jack Eichel.
I didn't know they were close.
Yeah, they played in the sandbagger with RA.
Oh.
Yeah, dude, that was such a funny one. If you
Well, you look at that Vegas blue line, and I can't tell you that that's not the best blue line in the league. Alex Petrangelo,
I was gonna say,
Shea
name them all
Theodore,
for
Noah Hanifin, Braden McNabb, Zach Whitecloud.
me.
And then you throw in Ben Hutton
Ben
or
Hutton, yep.
Nicholas Hague.
Nicholas Hague. You also have what's his name? Alec Martinez. He's injured right now, but you still have
Injured, but it's
Alec.
coming off. Like, that is
Yeah,
without a
that's
shadow of
insane.
a doubt It's crazy
It's just
because
all big boys
Colorado's
still.
blue line exists. But if you're talking about just overall offensively, Colorado wins. But overall, that Vegas blue line is
Yeah, it's
terrifying.
which
They're
is
all
what,
huge
yeah,
too.
which is what like dominated everyone last year.
Yeah, and they're all big fucking
Yeah,
guys.
they're
That's the other
huge.
thing. Petrangelo's 6'3". Theodore is 6'2". I think Hanifin is 6'3" as well. 200 plus guys. McNabb's not a small guy either. I think I think he's taller than Petro. He might be 6'4". There, it's a
He's
big,
6'3".
intimidating. Who
He's
is?
thick. Noah Hanifin.
Yeah, McNabb is like 6'4". They're all good skating. Martinez is big. That for the playoffs, you could not get a better defensive core. That move was amazing. And then you add on top of that Anthony Mantha, who's a fucking train.
Right.
And then you.
Before we get to the next one, this is the first round pick is a top 10 protected and becomes a 2026 first round if Vegas trades their 2025 pick before the deadline. The
Okay.
third round pick upgrades to a second round if the Golden Knights win a playoff round. That is insane. They're definitely going to fucking win a playoff round. That is wild. So to recap, that pick is now Danil Miromanov, a first round pick and a second round pick of next year.
Crazy.
That's intense.
Yeah.
That is intense.
Well, and
Okay. And
somehow
then
for Tomas Hertl, they get fucking San Jose to retain salary, 2 million
17%.
bucks
How crazy is that?
for 6 years. It's fucking mental, dude.
And what they moved David Enstrom in a 2025 first round pick, which they just received. It's not the same pick, but they just got a fucking first round pick from a
If
shit
we're
fucking
talking
team.
biggest losers, because I'm going to include just the last year,
Oh, it's the San Jose
it's San
Sharks.
Jose.
Dude.
Without a shadow of a doubt, these guys have been getting fleeced for all of their
But they're
talent.
dumb. It. After this, I would just you would have to clean all office. And it's unfortunate. But last year you move Timo Meier, who should have been the one who stayed, because y'all already had signed Thomas Hertl. And now he's gone.
And you're paying to get rid of him.
And you're fucking moving him. Dude, if I'm Couture, I'm feeling like Will Smith at the end of fucking Fresh Prince. There is no one. There is no one that plays on that team anymore.
Well, he actually had a pretty sad quote out of
Except
a.
for Vitek. They have a check. I
Did you see that quote they had that he
bad for
had?
him. No.
He said, "Well, I don't know if anyone wants to trade for a 36-year-old making $8 million who only plays six games."
Who said that, Couture?
Couture said it about himself.
Oh man, that's got it. And he was so good last year, dude. Like he still got it. I'll give him
Oh, he
that.
can still play.
He's got it,
I can't believe he's 36.
Yeah, he's pretty young.
I always just imagine Couture is like 24.
Really? No shit.
He's old, dude.
Yeah. I said it. I said he felt young, but I didn't know which way you were taking it. Yeah, Erik Karlsson destroyed that team.
Yeah.
That's incredible. That's incredible. They signed him and then they were just like, all right, goodbye, everybody. One year at a time. One year at a fucking time, dude. And it's like they had problems with getting Tomas Hertl to sign. Like I remember there was like some back and forth. Like he wanted more money, all this shit. And they finally figured out a fucking deal, and 2 years later, he's already gone.
Yeah, I don't even think it's been 2 years.
Excuse me. Yeah, 1 year, whatever.
Yeah.
But on top of that, they gave a first round pick. They got Thomas Hertl, and they got a third round, and then a third round in Oblivion. That is insane. That is insane.
Yeah, it's mental. It was actually one of the better trade deadlines we've seen in a long time.
I thought it was a little slow. I think it's because it
It
was more
picked
spread
up
out.
that final day. Like,
Yeah.
usually it's not that. Usually all the deals are done by then.
Yeah. I
Usually
find
it's like what the
it's
Habs
either
did with
like
Monahan. All the big deals are done
before the trade
ahead
deadline.
of time,
Yeah, like
but
that week.
no, this year it came down to the wire.
Well, unfortunately for us, it felt like we were never going to do anything. We saw a defenseman move for a good price, and everyone, including myself, was like, okay, well, that's only making the Savard deal. Like we're guessing where
Apparently,
it's at.
teams were calling for Savard, and
But our number was too high.
what I heard was Kent Hughes was
Wanted a
asked
first.
first.
Yeah.
And you know what? As much as I would have liked to get rid of Savard, it would help the tank. Kent Hughes felt like in the future, he's going to be able to get a first for David Savard. Whether that be in the offseason or at next year's trade deadline, he's confident that he can get a first round pick for David Savard. So he stuck to it and kept him. Now, do I wish the Habs had made a little more moves? Yes, but realistically, I don't really know who they deal other than Matheson, and I just can't see the Habs doing that.
No.
They dealt the goalie, they tried to deal Savard, couldn't. No one else really has any value. Anderson and Galley are not tradable contracts.
No, those are etched.
And other
Look,
than Yoel Armia,
I was gonna say if Yoel Armia can do that, he can definitely get himself traded.
I think he just picked himself up his play up a little too late.
True. But it leaves me to have hope for Josh Anderson. All he's got to do is just show up. All he's got to do is just have a great start to the season that trails a little deep, just consistency. And maybe next year we can do something.
Yeah.
Maybe. Well, anyway, we didn't even get a chance to talk about it. We've been just dwelling on the everything of the draft. But towards the end, we do have Jake Allen gets moved to New Jersey for a conditional 2025 third round pick. The Canadians are going to retain 50% of Allen's salary, but that's what was he making? Do you remember? Was it five?
No, like 3.4.
3.4?
I
Should be
think,
able to.
yeah, less than four.
Allen signed a 2-year, $7.7 million contract extension.
Yes, like 3.4.
Yeah, the cap hit is 3.85.
Oh,
So half of that.
3.85. Yeah.
So half of that. It's not still not fucking bad. Which then New Jersey went immediately right behind that and traded what's his name? VTech. No, I think it's like a couple days later. Jesus, a lot of scrolling. Damn, you're right. There was a lot of movement. Not a lot of big name people, but it was a big year. How do you feel about the trade? Do you think a third round is fair?
I would have liked to have gotten a second, but I'm glad we got rid of him. And I say that as a Jake Allen lover. Sorry, not Josh Allen.
I've probably got you stuck on the Josh Allen. I've been saying it a lot.
But Jake Allen is, a good leader. I think he deserves an opportunity to chase a cup.
Again, yeah, why not?
I think a second round pick would have been ideal, but I've said this a lot recently. You just don't get much for goalies. And Allen, as good as he is, I just don't think that he moves the needle as much as other goalies do. And I think the ha I wish the Habs got more, but I'm not upset with a third round pick.
I think that and I'm just quickly skimming around, for the goalies that were moved this offseason, excuse me, Jesus Christ, this trade deadline, the two that stand out the most is the Kaapo Kapanen and the Vitek Vanacek. There could be another. I just a quick scroll. Those guys get the most play time, and there was an even swap for each other. where the Canadians sharing that spot with Jake Allen. I forgot how many games he got with us this year, but for him to have such a small sample size, they didn't utilize him enough to really get him out there. If he would have had more games, I think a second would have been very easily obtained, because he would have had more reps, had a little bit more consistency to his game. And then you also got to think that they backed out of Markstrom, at least for now. They're saying that it could be a off-season move. They stopped Flurry in Florida, not Florida, in Minnesota. So I think of the two big names. Oh, and then you, what you call it, Winnipeg signed Big Boy before the start of the season. Like, the biggest names for goalies that were moving were already kind of hands washed. So going into this, I felt like we had the best opportunity for someone that we know is a game that can be a game breaker, or excuse me, a game changer for a team that just needs a little bit of more stability. I thought Denver would have been a great opportunity. I felt, even honestly, if they would have pulled the trigger on the Oilers before the Oilers just really just started just running away with it, I think it would have been big. But I think I'm pretty satisfied for what we got, considering all the other goalies really to getting shit. And the Canadians kind of shot Allen in the foot by not giving him enough play to really solidify more for us. I'm happy we didn't go to the offseason, because that was one of the things I had read going into it, is that they were content with bringing it into the offseason if they didn't like what they saw. I think that would have been fucking terrible. I don't like worrying about the future when it comes to a goalie like that. I think we made a great move, and at third, I'm fine with it. I just honestly love him. I hope he has a great opportunity. And I'm thankful that for his time that he was with us, and for what type of return we got from him. I remember talking to Jesus Christ, I feel horrible. Our buddies from Blue Notes, Tom Franklin. So sorry, Tom. I remember talking to Tom Franklin when we first got him, and he was like, "Don't rely on this guy. He's very washy." And I feel like the Jake Allen that we received was not anything like
I
that.
think
He's
Jake
a
Allen is just
fantastic goalie.
a consistent leadership presence. I think that if it weren't for Jake Allen, Sam Montembeau would not, excuse me, sorry, would not have
Develop.
grown into the goaltender that he is now. Because when Montembeau came to the Habs, he lacked confidence. He did not lack talent. He was terrible. But when he played with Allen, he had the reassurance that if he had a bad night, or if he had a bad week or a bad month, that he had Jake Allen to fall back on. And Jake Allen was not a veteran. He was a veteran. He was a former starter who got ousted because of Binnington. He won a cup. He was a very good goalie. Like, let's not, you know, Jake Allen's
By no
not
means was
never a
he not
superstar.
a
He was never an
but he
all-star,
wasn't a pushover.
but he was a good goalie. But Allen never made it a locker room war. He never tried to take his job. He only ever supported whoever was in net with him. And
Let us act.
I think you're kidding yourself if you don't think that Allen was huge for the development of Montembeau, his confidence, his game. If it weren't for Jake Allen, the Habs, I don't know who the Habs have in net right now, because I don't think it is Sam Montembeau. And having Monty allows us to not rush Jacob Fowler.
Can't
Jake
wait.
Allen's impact on this team, you know, I don't think a lot of it is shown on the score sheet, but at the organizational level and the cultural footprint that he has left, I think will be undeniable. And you can see that in the comments Kent Hughes made, saying he's just an amazing human being. All the guys reposting with him when he was gone, like, Jake Allen will be missed. I even know that they even said that Jake Allen often ran a lot of the rookie events and stuff, planned a lot of team outings. So just a great guy, a great teammate. It sucks that he's not in our organization because you want guys like that. But I am happy that we're not having the three goalies, and hopefully Allen can make a run at the cup with New Jersey.
Yeah, that's all I want is for him to get an opportunity to get back to a big team. Honestly, if this dude retired tomorrow, I would hope we would offer him a job with some type of goalie conditioning or some shit like that. Like he just, I think he said it best. He was just a great guy, and I hope that a lot of these players, especially like Montembeault and like some of the future goalies we could have, what he left, on the table, it's such an honorable thing to strive for, and I hope that Montembeault takes in some of that as well when he goes to, in the future, help someone, take someone under his wing. I hope that some of Jake Allen's core principles stays with him. Great fucking guy. He also had that golf benefit that he did every year. Unreal.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I'm a little gutted by that one, honestly. I said gutted like 12 times this episode. It's your fault. But I'm a, I that one upset me. Like I really wanted to move Jake Allen, but I didn't think of how impactful it would suck. Like how it would suck. Like, do you remember when Carey Price was coming back, and he. It was all over the fucking news. Everybody was just talking about Carey Price, Carey Price, Carey Price, all this shit. And Jake Allen just came up with a statement that was just like, I know my place and I'm here to support my team. Dude, it was like at that moment, I was like, there's nothing this dude can honestly do wrong that I won't respect this man for his game. I don't know if you remember when he first started, Carey Price started the it was common to like play the puck back to the defenseman or the guy who trailed back. And I think in Jake Allen's first game, he like hesitated on doing it and slipped up. And I think we got scored on. And it was everybody kind of gave him like they circled around him and was just like, like it is what it is, you got it. And then from that moment, I don't think he ever made that mistake again. Just learning how we played a little different was funny. Mason, we made, I think that was it, huh? We made a move today. That was weird.
AHL deal, yeah, nothing big at all.
Yeah. I'm so, I hate it. I'm happy that this year I've spent so much time watching games, having that ability to do. I might have missed only like six games this year, six or seven. But I want to take that and move that into the AHL. In the future, I don't know much about the person we traded. Don't know if that's a guy we've had or whatever. I don't know who the Nathan
He's been around. Yeah, he's
Laguerre.
nothing.
Yeah, I don't know, but that's something I'd like to move do in the future is get good on those. Well, fuck. Before we take this somewhere else, we got an ad read from our sponsors over at DraftKings. We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get 200 instantly in bonus bets. Let's see. Let's just focus on the Canadians. We got three games this week, Mason. We have the Blue Jackets. Today, when this airs, the Bruins on Thursday, and then Saturday, the Flames. Can't tell y'all what to do. I think our best bet is against probably the Blue Jackets and the Flames. I'm gonna say we walk out with 3 points. Let's just say that. I'm gonna say one of the games gives us a little tussle. Say 3 points going out of that. I think that's pretty fair. Anyway, folks, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get 200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800.net. In New York, call 877-8 Hope NY or text Hope NY 467-369. I got to say it now. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, Jesus. 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after insurance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restriction terms and responsible gambling resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the NHL of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved. All right, let me get a sip of water real quick. Jesus. That was tough, Mason. I was getting stuck, buddy. Let's see. Any other we touched on the big moves. Any random player caught your eye that you thought could be impactful? Maybe wasn't a major move, anything like that?
I think, oh shit, sorry. Dropping fucking loonies.
Yeah,
oh fuck. Okay, there we go. I think the Tarasenko deal is the kind of low risk, high reward deal that really makes Florida one of the winners of the day. I think if you gave them the third best trade deadline, I wouldn't even argue with you too much. The best team in the NHL in the regular season, I believe, still. They are.
Yeah, checked it today.
You don't need to make a huge amount of moves, but you know, Tarasenko made an instant impact. If you give Tarasenko the puck in a place where he can shoot it, he's going to score. And nobody in the NHL seems to elevate line mates the way Alexander Barkov does. The amount of guys that have had career years with him, I saw a list recently. It was crazy. Yeah, I really, really like that move. Tarasenko did well to leverage himself to get there. Ottawa got fuck all for it, which makes it even better because
they got a fourth round and a third round next year.
It was like fifth round.
Oh yeah, it's a conditional. So I'm sure if I looked into it.
Was there a third round pick involved? I don't know if there was.
Let's see.
Tarasenko trade. Let's see. Oh yeah, conditional fourth and third. You're right. My bad. But yeah,
you're good. This one didn't really break it down, so I had nothing else to give you.
Yeah, really nothing. Which is just great to see. Fuck the Sens. So I think Florida
did really well as well.
I also think the Jets, now they didn't do all their work at the deadline, but adding Toffoli and Monahan to that offense is pretty fucking sick, if you ask me.
No, I absolutely agree.
They've been playing well, too. They've been playing really well.
I hate that they're going to have to play Colorado. It's just not fair.
Yeah, but fuck, they're really not a pushover. Shifley.
Well, no, I'm not saying. I'm
Morrissey,
saying.
Connor. That Nikolai Ehlers has been phenomenal. You add Sean Monahan, who's been lighting it up. 8 goals in 15 games as a Winnipeg Jet. Toffoli seems to just be determined to play for every single Canadian team. This is a team that I think can get a lot done. Gabriel Vilardi.
What's he got left? Edmonton?
Edmonton, Toronto, and Ottawa.
Jesus.
So, I mean, hopefully he doesn't have to stoop so
low. I don't want him in the blue.
The thing is, I could totally see him going to Edmonton.
That would be sick.
It'd be pretty. But anyway, yeah, great. I think it's a great move for the Jets. But I'd say the top three trade deadlines for me would have to be Vegas, Colorado, and Florida. And then you put Carolina and the Jets in that mix as well.
So like the third.
Yeah, I'd say
fair.
So.
I think that's fair. That is fair. Oh, fuck. All right. Before we get out of here, Mason, I sent you something about the Laval rocket. I don't know if you had a chance to see it, but they had a just got this up really quick. I fucked it up.
Yeah, I
They
just saw
had
that
like a
recently,
heritage
actually.
type of glass type of game. They had a heritage style game. And I think the unis look sick. Unfortunately, I don't think they sold any. It was all auctioned. So I don't know if you were able to even purchase like the jerseys. I would buy one of these. I think it
No,
looks.
you mentioned them earlier, and I thought you meant the Houston Rocket. I did see those. Was
No.
it was an outdoor was an outdoor game they were playing?
Fuck, is it?
The way the lighting looked, it almost looked like
Yeah,
a
right.
regular.
It kind of looks like it's like a stadium stanchion, not stanchion, like a stadium lighting. That'd be cool. If it was outdoor, that's even better. I think the jersey's sick. I love the kit. I think, unfortunately, I think the jersey's awesome on its own, but I love it with the old school khaki. And I wish maybe the jersey had a little bit of that in it, because if I'm just covering that up, yeah, there's none. I think some of that khaki on it would have looked fantastic as well. But the kit all in itself looks great. And of course, they used Logan Mayhew as the like the principal person in the photo shoot. Looks great in it.
Yeah,
And then they did
he's
like an
been
old
great too.
timey. He's been killing it. They had it done in like an old timey, like as if it was like a newspaper article. And when they presented like the lineup, it was all in like old school. I don't know how else to describe it. It looked great. It looked very cool. And I would buy one of these fucking jerseys. I'm surprised they're not interested in making money.
Yeah, no, I thought they were pretty sick. I would definitely buy one. Like, they're way better than that what the Habs have done for like reverse retro or anything. They kind of give me have you ever seen like the Habs they do like the classic jerseys on Chell? That's kind of the vibes they give me. I really like them.
I also like on it how they've kind of extended the R like
Into a stick.
into
Yeah,
the
it looks
stick.
sick.
Like
It looks
it,
sick.
if I'm not mistaken, the R, it has a little bit of it, but like in this logo, it's a little extended, and I think it looks that much cooler.
I like the colorway too.
Yeah, the
I really like
colorway's
the
great.
colorway.
I think they easy the best the best striped jerseys we've ever had.
Oh, for sure.
Those Canadians ones are brutal. The candy cane ones.
Yeah, I know exactly the ones you're talking about. The barbershop.
Yeah, the barbershop looks terrible. Mason, I know you got a lot of stuff to do. You're a young man in college. Is there anything else you'd like to cover today?
Nothing springs to the brain.
Okay. All right. Like I said a little bit ago, our upcoming games are going to be the Blue Jackets, the Bruins, and then the Flames. Almost said the Canadians. So yeah, that's what we got look forward to this week. I think the following week we got a 4-game week. Love those weeks. I don't have anything else to say, Mason. Why don't you close us out?
All right, well, thank you guys once again for stopping by, listening to Habs Nightly on the Hockey Podcast on the Hockey Podcast Network. We appreciate all the support you guys give, and we're excited to talk to you guys again soon.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.